Welcome back from the break, everybody. I'm going to talk about the modeling of microstructure and collecting saving device and ratings called MicroShape. And we have done this work together with the founder, so we are going to do some of the presentations. First of all, I will tell you about what is this MicroShape, and Jan will tell you about the modeling and the validation. I will tell a little bit about how to do calculations in Asian and future work that we are planning to do. So MicroShape, what is it? MicroShape is a transparent metal layer of fixed microelements, which is put into a pane. And this is a sample of the MicroShape. I just want to send around. If you try to hold it just here where you see the red stripes, then you won't put all your fingers on it. It will be difficult to see. But this is basically the project that is built into a glazing. I also have the glazing here, so we can send that around as well. So you just have the chance to see what it is. But what is it that it does? We have, as you see, these perforations in the metal, and they are tilted, just like lamellas. They are just very tiny. They have a diameter of less than 0.7 millimeters, and then they're sloping downwards 16 degrees. So that means that the sun from the high angle is blocked out, and the sun from the low angle passes through the shape. And it comes in strips that is 14 centimeters wide, as you can see, strips I'm sending around, and it's only 0.2 millimeter thick, the layer still. And the picture you see here is from one of our very recent installations. It's in the DI building at the main square here in Copenhagen, Rådhuspladsen. You can't actually see it from the main square, but if you go to the Tivoli Garden, you will be able to see the entire atrium roof. It consists of microshapes in these fields, and then you have solar cells in the dark fields. And also the end of the agent that is equipped with the microshape. So this is just to show you some examples of how does it look when you install this in a building. This is another picture from an office environment. And one of the benefits you have from using microshape is that you get the natural daylight inside the building, even though you have shading, because it just holds through the metal layer. Of course, you have the glazing still, but you don't like if you have sort of full glass where you have the coloring of the glass, you don't have that in the microshape glazing. This is another installation in a swimming stadium in Næstved, also here in Denmark, where you can see the lower row of the glazing is not equipped with microshape, but all the other parts are equipped with microshape. So what we want to do was that, because we are putting this into real buildings, designers want to know how does it perform. Do we get sufficient shading to use cooling? So do we? What is the balance of this building? So we want to be able to modeling both thermally and also in order to see what kind of daylight we get in the building when we're using this microshape. So this. In order to model this, because this is a quite complex system, you can't just use all the simple daylight tools. You need to do something more advanced. And because we have this tiny microstructure, it's not really you can't really do a geometrical model because the structure is so small and the rooms are so big, so you don't really get reliable results. So therefore, we need to do something else. And that is why Jan came into the picture, because he knew how to come around this problem.
Yes, thank you. Well, at the beginning I didn't know exactly, but well, I will briefly show you how we made the model for it, and
So the general issue was to have a very simple model at the end. That means easy to use on any tool, which is on every tool which is available based on gradients, yeah, any of them. So this was the overall goal. So what did I do? Well, there are more or less four steps. I made the geometric model, but not in a in an environment for the office, but just for getting the reliable data. I derived the angle-dependent transmission data from them, also compared it to laboratory measurements, and then we made a fit function to the data, because, well, it's quite difficult to find a physical function directly based on the curve and the shape and so on. This is not really possible. So we had a fit function and derived a functional model for the transmission. So also the goal of the model was to have the possibility to calculate the right illuminance levels in the room. So, well, this was the first step, creating this a geometric model for the microchain. It looks like this. And what I did then is to have a very small grid just behind the model and changing the angle of incidence for light source in 1 degree steps. So you see the angles here from in both directions. And more or less we derived a bit bidirectional function there. The only thing is that the angle of the outcoming ray is not changed, because it's always air crossing through, so it makes everything much easier. So what you see on the right hand side is angle dependent transmission function of this microshade derived by the virtual measurements here. And then the next step was, well, how can we derive a fit function for all the things? And because it's a two-dimensional thing, and I found a pretty good software for doing this. It's called Table Curve, and there was a function based on many cosinus parts in it, and it could really fit pretty well, because this, what you see on the right hand side, is already the fit function. So if I go back to the other one, you see it's pretty close. The next question was what kind of model I'm using in gradient, because, well, in Germany we say there are many ways going to Rome, so there are also many ways to model it here. And I could have used a BTDF function here, but what I wanted to have is an easy way to adapt it to other products maybe later on. And so I wanted to have an easy way to change, for example, the reflectance of the metal also, if it's needed. And so I split it up into really the metal part, which just gives the reflectance part of the metal, and the other thing is the holes which you have, and so I use the mix function, so mixing, let's say, the holes, which is air more or less. So I use glass with refraction index of 1, which is more or less air, and the metal, and I have a mix function which is based on this function I showed before, and so I get the right transmittance at the end. There's another thing, because if you have if you see the microshade, you can put it also in certain angles in your glazing or on, well, speaking of it's on your polygons or whatever. And so there must be a way also to specify this. And this is done just by this one additional value you can specify in the mix function, this rotation angle. So, and if you compare now the data, I said before that we had done also measurement in our laboratory. So you see here three curves. So we have the measurements, which are the dots. We have this geometric model, which is the green line, and we have this functional model, which is the blue line. So, and this is a plane vertical through the system. So this is from minus 75 to 75 degrees. But you see, it's pretty close. I was really surprised that that this is produced really very accurate. Because, usually if you model some things and you get a real product, then you have a big discrepancy because it's not manufactured in that way. But we also made some REM photographs of it, and it looks really like the ideal thing. And you see it here because I didn't, this is no fake or adaption of the shape of the things. It was really, I modeled it and it looked directly like this. So that was really good. And the same happens if we have the other cut, and we also measured the 45 degrees, so it looks the same. So it's pretty good. And then we made also some test room measurements. So this was also very okay. Especially those values here, because the direct sun was hit. These parts here was the indirect part, and we had very big uncertainties there. But it looks pretty well. Yeah. So I would say that the model is very close to the reality, and I think it's pretty easy to use later on also. So,
Yeah. So in order to make it simple to use for the consulting engineers designing their buildings, we have written a guideline to how to use this model in DASIM. And of course, for other users, there's also the possibility to use a BSDF file, which David has derived at his work at LBNL. So you can also use the three-step method that we heard about yesterday when you want to do calculations. And the next step is that we do have other types of microshape. The one I sent you around is only one of them. You can actually tell the difference when you're just looking at them. But we do have some differences. We have developed another kind of facade project. The one I sent you around was one of the facade projects, and the one we have made the model of is the one that's called MSA. It has this tilt of 16 degrees. Then we have another one called MSD, which has a high shading effect because the tilt of the lamella is 23 degrees. And then we also have two roof products with a tilt of 0 degrees and a tilt of 4 degrees, depending on what kind of slope you have on the roof and what orientation you have and all that. So the next step will be to make similar models like the one we have done for MSA for the other types of microshade. Now we have seen that this is a good way to do it. It's easy to use in DASIM. And then we also do have some other types of microshade, some architectural type we call them, one called barcode and one called leaves. Those will be a bit more complicated because they consist of different patterns, you can say, different structured microstructures in order to create these patterns. But the demand is there in the market. We'll of course also do models of these kind of shading devices. Yeah. Are there any questions? Yeah.
Do you have interest, for example, in especially the simpler radiance model based on the mixed one? It's quite easy to evaluate. I'm interested in distributing these data also for simpler standard lighting design tools, for example, like Velux. It would be nice because we know that many clients, they ask us, can we model this or that material, and they don't have the data, and doing really the full hardcore BSDF way is quite challenging for a lot of designers working with simpler tools, but they still have interest in using new materials. So is there, as you already have a quite simple model, is there any interest from company side to distribute the data?
We have quite a lot of inquiries about can we use this tool in other for example the Velux visualizer. But we have the challenge there that it's not our program, so we don't decide what should go in these programs. So what we have done here is to make a guideline that is based on free software, because then it's available for everybody. But of course we're interested in broadening this out to other tools as well, because that is a simple benefit for us. It will be more easy for people to use.
What would be needed to put it in Relux? Is it only the CAD file you need?
Yeah, because Relux is interface with a new GUI, so the CAD file has to be somehow wrapped into it's an XML structure. So the real inclusion of such materials is not that difficult. It's just a question of having the right to publish it. So it's more a political issue than a technical issue.
Yeah.
But it would be interesting, at least for those materials where rather straightforward simulation models are existing. It would be very interesting to have that.
Yeah.
So we'll contact you.
Yes. Thank you.
Can you elaborate more on the geometric model? I mean, how did you actually test to get the values, or what values were in there, that surface?
Sorry,
the geometric model.
Yes.
How can you elaborate more on how that was developed? I mean, what kind of you were just measuring angles or how much light that the surface that you got used this surface here.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I didn't visualize it. So I had a bunch of sensors here behind.
Okay.
And on the other side, I had a light source just moving around
spotlight.
Then I just
just a spotlight source, okay.
And then I had one sensor on the front side,
uh-huh.
And then I divided, and so I made an average on the back, so I got the transmission through the system.
Okay.
So
can you use the same technique then for other types of screens, not even microstructures? So suppose not on the nano type millimeter level, but maybe on the centimeter level. You know, all these traditional screens that you see in old towns in the Middle East and everywhere. Can you use the same approach instead of having to model the same?
Yeah,
small
it really depends. Well, if it's just a fabric or so, you just need one sensor or whatever. So it's really it depends.
These usually
what
have very intricate geometries.
Can you say something about the thermal performance of this product?
Yeah.
I
had the same question.
Okay. Yes.
Since
the G-value is dependent on the position of the sun relatively to the solar shading. But if we what we usually do is that we calculate what we call the effective G-value, where we use weather data to use a yearly simulation to see what is the average G-value for each month. And if you take a south facade in Copenhagen, you will have a G-value from 0.3 in the wintertime to 0.1 in the summertime for Copenhagen. But of course it will be different from where you have shading. If you have it in the roof, you will have other values. If you so it depends.
To say what the glazing alone is?
Well, the glazing alone, if you have for this, if you have a G value in summertime for approximately 0.1, then you will have a standard low E glazing with two layers. So the G value will there be, I guess, 0.63 or something like that. That would be a normal G value. Yeah.
Have you looked at the convection wash as well, depending on your position in the glass system?
Yes, we have done a lot of investigation on that, and that was in the product development. We did a lot of, where should we place it? Should we place it on one side or the other side? And what all these experiments showed was that the best way to put it was on the inside of the outer pane, because there you have it sheltered, you don't have any maintenance or anything. and then have the low E coating on what you call side 3 on the outside of the inner glass, because then you don't have the radiation into the room. So that is, yeah.
And what was the convection factor of this?
I don't recall.
What about the price?
Last question.
Yeah, what do we say? Now I have it in Danish kroners. If I should just recalculate it to euros or something like that. I would say we usually say if you have the glazing, including the microshade, and mounted on a building, you would say 500 euros per square meter. But of course, it depends on what is the installation cost and all that stuff. The microshade itself will be around a little more than 300 euros per square meter.
How is it manufactured?
Well, we have this steel band where we etch the hole.
Etched, okay.
Yeah. And then we put the coloring on. We can have different kind of colors. The sample I send you around is called anthracite. The coloring, we can of course do no coloring, then it will be more shiny. We also have a copper version where we put copper on. And the fun thing about using all these colors is from the inside, when you look out, you can't actually see it because you have the light coming in, so you don't see the color of the shading. But from the outside, it gives a totally different view of the building if you use, for example, the copper compared to the anthracite. So you can have some quite nice effects on the building. Yeah.
Have you thought about integrating this function into building energy simulation software?
Yes. We have, so far we have integrated it into the standard program in Denmark called VSIM, so it's integrated in that one. We are also working on if we can integrate it into more kinds of software.